All right. Hello, everyone, on this crisp Friday afternoon, 1 p.m. here in the heart of Laurier's campus. Of course, we are live in the Radio Laurier studio. My name's Ian Bailey, joined to the left by Matteo Beckles, and also joined to the left by Ethan and Andaraja. Glad you could join us for this episode of Gold and Bold. And the talk on campus, the talk all over Laurier is, of course, the recent Yates Cup champions, your Wofford Laurier Golden Hawks. What a football program we have here. And finally, we have conquered the Western Mustangs, defeating them last weekend on Saturday to a sold-out crowd at University Stadium. Your Wofford Laurier Golden Hawks are Yates Cup champions. And Matteo, they are not done there.
Absolutely not. And yeah, it was a big sold-out crowd, the second sellout other than homecoming. They added some bleachers to up the capacity. But yeah, no, not done at all. They're going to be heading over to Bishops for the UTEC Bowl and take them on Saturday. There's a little watch party going on at Laurier as well.
Where's that?
At Wilf's on Saturday. Doors open at 11 if anybody's interested.
Wilf's? We love Wilf's.
I love Wilf's. I got spin dip socks that I'm going to wear.
their spin dip is maybe the most heavenly thing I have ever consumed on this mortal plane, of course. Of course, that's the Golden Hawks at Bishops University. So a bit of a trek to get over there. But if you're going to support the Golden Hawks, kudos to you. But they're also, as you mentioned, the watch party at Wilf's. And you also catch that, I think we're holding on the radio station here, as well as OUA TV and I think Rogers, some Rogers channels, holding it too. Because the UTEC, and then should they go on, of course, it's the Vanier Cup, which is pretty big, of course. Also in action this weekend and also tonight are the basketball teams, of course, men's basketball and women's basketball going on at home at the Athletic Complex Gym. So, you know, you can only make it to the football game this weekend, but you still want to support local sports, Laurier sports. Head on down to the Athletic Complex Gym, pretty cheap tickets, and you're always guaranteed for a show. It's women's basketball, then immediately followed by the men's basketball. Of course, they are against
Ontario Tech
tonight.
It's,
yeah,
it's Space Jam night. I don't know.
Is it actually? Kirby.
Yeah, Space Jam night on Friday, presented by Students Union. So,
are you getting dressed as a?
Oh, I'm getting dressed all right. I'll be hosting basketball. Yep. So, I've got my roommate brought back a Space Jam Toon Squad Michael Jordan jersey.
Nice.
I'll have that
Toon
going.
Squad.
And yeah, should be a fun night.
Of course, Ethan. Of course, the men's basketball team. Not doing so hot, though. Of course, they're 2-4, and they're riding a 4-game losing streak. What do you make of that?
Yeah, they've only really have like one main score. You know, they're really relying on one guy. So, really gotta find that second option, release the weight on the number one option.
Definitely. And last weekend, of course, he was, or maybe 2 weekends ago, whatever game I was calling with Kevin, he was injured, and so like he was, you know, he's not playing that weekend, and so. And their offense just had nothing. If he, you know, they didn't have the catalyst there. And this is the time you're riding a 4-game losing streak. You're looking for the next guy up. You're looking for the next guy to stand up and someone else you can rely on. And they just haven't quite found that yet. But they need to find them soon if they want to stay in the hunt, as you're already off to a 2-4 start. Isn't the end of the world, but you are. Those last four losses have all been consecutive in your most recent games played, so you'd rather right the ship sooner than later.
Yeah, Batman's really missing his Robin right now.
But yeah, no, you guys are absolutely right, because, you know, I've been able to watch a lot of the games, and it feels like they just let it run away from them. You know, you'll be looking up at the scoreboard at one point, and it's, you know, not too big a deficit, but then look back after 10 minutes or so, and the game's kind of gotten away from them. You just can't catch up with the offense that late in the game. But yeah, no, four-game losing streak, so hopefully they can turn that around. But yeah, the Tay Donald is a big piece that they definitely, you know, they feel it when they miss him, because I remember last year he kind of went down towards the end of the regular season. I'm not sure if he played, you know, at the start of the playoffs or not, but you could feel it, like they were missing a big piece of their team. So
definitely, of course, the women's basketball team, of course, coming in hot. Of course, they won their two most previous games, of course. November 8th, last weekend, of course, they won 73-63, of course, at Laurentian, of course, against the Voyageurs. And then the following night, of course, you go up to Sudbury against Laurentian. Typically, you also visit the Nipissing Lakers in North Bay while you make that trip, and they did just that. Of course, that Saturday night, the next night was, of course, a 78-61 win, of course. So that's a 17 point victory, of course, the largest victory they've had all season. And they're coming in also tonight. It'll be on at 6 p.m. tonight against, of course, the aforementioned Ontario Tech Ridgebacks. And both teams also in action Saturday night against the Queens Gales. And Laurier Queens games are always quite entertaining, so that's one I'll definitely keep an eye on. So both men's and women's basketball programs in action tonight and tomorrow night, not to mention, of course, the UTEC and the Golden Hawks football hopes and programs stay alive. And will they continue past this Saturday? Of course, turning our attention to hockey, because hockey's always fun. Of course, the women's hockey team, of course, a strong start to the season, which is completely the opposite of their start to last season. Of course, they started quite weak last season and then barely squeaking to playoffs just to a really strong end to the season. And so this season, they learned from their mistakes last season. Ended up to a 5-3-0-1 start for 15 points, which is good for 4th and West and 7th out of 14. So they're right in the middle of the OUA women's standings picture, of course. And they did have, they're actually almost on top of the West a couple games ago early to start. But of course, they're coming off a pair of losses last week. I don't know, me and Mateo called one of them, me and Connor called one. Mateo, what do you make of the women's team?
Well, so they did have a strong start, but I think that those, well, at least that game I was calling, or we were calling against Ontario Tech, I thought that was a pretty winnable game. Of course, Ontario Tech, you know, towards the bottom of the standings. And so from what we saw, I haven't been able to catch a lot of women's games, complete games at least, but it just looked like, you know, some risky stretch passes that just weren't being completed, passes across the seam, and just, you know, plays that you don't try and make when you're trying to play, you know, a complete sound fundamental game. So, you know, maybe that's a one-off, but I thought that, you know, that wasn't a great showing, especially against a team that's relatively, you know, shouldn't pose that big of a challenge. I'm interested to see how they fare against, it's Waterloo, that they're playing to battle Waterloo on Saturday. So hopefully they can turn it around, but yeah, strong start. I caught their home opener, and that was a good game as well. Just good job of, you know, getting on those rebounds and just, you know, attacking on every rebound that is on the doorstep. So yeah, a strong start, and hopefully they can get back on track.
Nathan, you mentioned rebounds. Of course, that home opener, first couple games, they're pounding in their rebounds, they're getting their sticks on the puck in the danger areas around the slot, those bouncing pucks around the blue paint. But of course, last game, I know we called together, we made a huge point, and I'll continue to make a huge point on their rebounds and their lack of rebound possession and chances. Every single time there's bouncing puck in front of their opposition's net, they were just unable to get a stick on it. They were crisp passes or great pad rebounds that were almost, you know, platters handed to them, and they just did not cash in. Maybe it was an off night. Maybe their hand-eye coordination was a bit rough. You know, hockey's a tough sport to play. But when you've made, you know, the first half of, well, you know, your first couple games of this season, you were hounding all over the rebounds, and suddenly against a fairly weak team, that's bottom of the standings and will most likely continue to be that way. And you're just not cashing in any rebounds. So hopefully it was an off night, and hopefully it's not a sign of patterns to come. Of course, as you mentioned, they play tomorrow night in the Battle of Waterloo. Notably not in Waterloo, actually. It's being held in Owen Sound.
Is that the... it's an Owen Sound.
It's an Owen Sound, which it's always nice to see. I know the women's team also goes down to Woodstock every year to play a game for the Wildcats down there. So, but yeah, they're doing the Battle of Waterloo in Owen Sound, which is always nice to see. Campus sports kind of branch out and, you know, have games off campus, and especially in towns like Woodstock and Owen Sound that don't have and not really close to a major university or post-secondary institution. It's always fun to have those teams visit, and probably a bit of a change of pace. Anything else going on? Oh, the men's hockey team.
Yeah, we've got the men's as well.
almost ignored them, because it seems like the standings have kind of ignored them too in that playoff hunt, as they are tied for least best, polite way to put it. Yeah, in the OUA West, of course. They're 2-6-2, just two wins for 6 points. Bottom of the West division of the OUA men's hockey season. But they play tonight, and they play tomorrow night. In North Bay, of course, against Nipissing Lakers. And if you know anything about North Bay, they absolutely adore their hockey. That's their entire town. They're a huge hockey town, so expect a great crowd for that game. And Nipissing Lakers, of course, have a really strong hockey program historically. So, you know, they're going to be, you know, they're a tough battle. It's a tough road game, too, especially going to a barn like the one they have in North Bay. But this is a good opportunity for the Golden Hawks to kind of start turning it around and kind of embrace that road mentality and just go in, play a hard game, try to get something out of these two games in North Bay.
Yeah, for sure, because it's back-to-back games in Nipissing. And first we were talking about, you know, how strong their support is there. I remember the first game that I called last year as an analyst was against Nipissing, and just the amount of people that came up from North Bay just to watch their team all the way in Waterloo was like, okay.
Oh, it was insane. I remember I got to call the playoff game, like the play-in game. It was Laurier and Nipissing. And there was as many Nipissing fans as Golden Hawks fan for a playoff game. They made the trip down.
Yeah, they're diehards.
And it was great to see. And they'd come up to us in between periods, me and Isaac Carmichael on the play-by-plays, and they talk our heads and like, oh, you know, what do you think about the game? What do you think about that chance? And there, those fans in that city just loves hockey.
Absolutely. But yeah, it's a back-to-back there, Friday and Saturday against the same team. And this is, I mean, if there's a good time to turn around, it's now, because they're on a 6-game losing streak. It was a pretty bad loss to Toronto, to the University of Toronto. I called that game as well with Bernevin, and you know, just not a great showing overall. And I seem to remember them having a better start to the last season. So I guess the men and women have kind of flipped how they're starting off the season. But like I said, there's still time. It's early in the season, and we'll see what they've got in them.
Yeah, I tell you, yeah, it's early in the season, of course. You know, like all the hockey teams have played less than 10 games. It's like a 27-game season. So they're, you know, just about a third of the way into season. So there's more than enough time to kind of turn these slow starts of the season apart. But when you give up like 6 in a row, you know, at the start of a season, it just makes it that much harder. It makes games way more important as you enter the dog days of the season. You're fighting from behind for the rest of the season. So that's why often you see, you know, the good team to go off like the first 9 games, they'll go 6-3, 5-4. They're at least above 500 to put themselves in a better position for the playoff picture later on down the line. But when you start, you know, the first third of the season at the bottom of the standings, it's just that much harder to climb your way back. So definitely this men's hockey team looking for, you know, the light and looking to crawl themselves out of the hole they've put themselves in. Those are kind of the major sports going on right now. Any other campus sports you want to discuss?
Not that I can think
of.
I
think softball is
slate.
Done. I think golf's done.
Lots of things have ended.
Cross country. I think the Nationals, of course.
Some cross country news.
The Golden Hawks representative, veteran Ian.
Ian Young.
Yeah. He was down. I think it was in Kelowna, British Columbia.
Was it?
I think the Nationals. Of course, he was the lone Golden Hawks representative there. That's a pretty good trip out west, down to the Pacific. And I've never been to British Columbia, so maybe
I've been once.
Have you?
Yeah, and it was. I went to Penticton. I was just a kid, but there was like a triathlon going on there, so I went to Penticton.
And you entered?
I did not enter.
You just went to watch.
I don't even know why I was there, to be honest with you, but I was in Penticton, and you know, there's a big show out. And I have a shirt that says Penticton on it, just to prove to people I've been there. Went to Vancouver for like, you know, maybe half a day. I wasn't impressed. It was rainy. It was gray.
So I hear about Vancouver. It's very rainy.
Yeah, I mean, they live up to their reputation. It was not a good visit for me. But
Ethan, you ever been up to anywhere west? Any British Columbia?
Nah, not British Columbia. But no? Vancouver is definitely one place I want to go to.
Vancouver would be nice to go to, barring like the weather. I feel, but Vancouver's kind of nice. It's kind of like the Toronto of the West sort of feel.
Yeah.
Big film industry in Vancouver, you know, North Hollywood. That'd be cool to see. Been to any other provinces, Ethan?
Mostly just out of country.
Oh, okay. Such as?
England.
Oh,
Jamaica.
Wow.
I've been to England a few times.
Man.
Bahamas.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Most of these were when I was like young.
Yeah. I've been to Newfoundland.
Okay.
I've been to Newfoundland a couple times, actually. That's where some of my grandfather's. Was from Newfoundland. He was actually born in Newfoundland before it became a province back when it was like, so I have some family up in Newfoundland. I do recommend Newfoundland.
You recommend
it? I recommend going there.
What have they got there for me?
Yeah.
Seafood.
I'm not a big fish guy. I don't know about you.
I like seafood.
Okay, good. You don't like seafood?
I'm just that it doesn't speak to me.
It doesn't speak to me.
I don't know.
And moving our way on to professional sports. Of course, NFL is doing pretty good. NBA is doing pretty good. All the NBA, NFL, and NHL are the three of the big four going on right now. Of course, MLB is in their off season. Yankees, that's still funny. But
I was so glad.
Yankees lost. Everything was all right in the world. The biggest meltdown, of the playoffs. That was.
I mean, when it's Dodgers Yankees, you're just choosing between two evils.
Yeah, you're cheering for the asteroid, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that the lesser of two evils won.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like it was always so strange because like MLB is like, Dodgers Yankees is the matchup they want in the finals. You can promote the heck out of it.
Yeah.
Of course, Judge and Ohtani, the two greatest hitters alive today, and neither of them played into the game at all. Yeah. Judge's batting average was
like low.
It was like 0.13 or something like that. It was like my chem test in high school.
I would open Twitter and you just see like the collective fans ragging on their superstar, like especially Aaron Judge. He was getting it from Yankees.
Yeah,
fans,
I hope, but, especially after like the terrific season he had.
Yeah,
and then now no one's going to remember him for that.
He used it all up. He used up all his juice in the regular season.
And then Ohtani too was a non-factor for the Dodgers too. It's all pretty much the Freddie Freeman show.
That's true, and like Ohtani can get away with it because you have the benefit of having Freddie Freeman in your lineup.
Yeah,
and everyone else. I mean, look at Mookie Betts; he wasn't great either.
Exactly.
But, you've got just a ridiculous roster.
And the Dodgers were stacked. The entire starting rotation on the IR practically.
Yeah, they just add to it every year, and it's like, how many more guys can they sign? And then they sign another one, and you're like, all right.
Which is an interesting conversation.
Too many people on that team.
Which also because like baseball, of course, doesn't have a salary cap.
No salary cap, yeah.
Which allows these big market teams to just throw as much money at all the free agents as they want, where hockey very strict salary cap, basketball has a luxury tax at least.
Mm-hmm. But still like balanced to an extent.
Yeah, but baseball it's maybe the more unbalanced of the big four, because NFL also has a salary cap too.
I mean, basketball's starting to fall a bit out of whack because the new CBA that they just agreed to with the NBA is kind of throwing off logistics around the what's it called? The MLE.
For what reason is Jalen Suggs being able to get paid $30 million?
That's what I'm saying. Like you've got guys either making the max or you've got guys making nothing. And there's like, we're starting to see less and less of an in-between, which is, it's interesting to see how rosters are going to be formed coming up because that was a recent thing. And like the salary cap has its pros and cons. I'm not a fan of how it works in baseball just because, I feel like as a Blue Jays fan, as a relatively casual Blue Jays fan, like, you'll be on the watch. Oh, like maybe they're going to sign this guy. We know who he's going to end up with at the end of the day. I'm not even dialed into the Juan Soto sweepstakes.
Oh, I've seen those posts. Like, he's going to the Blue Jays. Like, we're not doing this again.
After Kawhi and after Ohtani, I'm done like dialing into he's on the free agents. Like, there's no shot.
First, it was Jose Ramirez.
Then true. Yeah,
that's true. Soto.
I remember when they signed George Springer. There were rumors that Michael Brantley was coming along with him. And then that ended up being false, and I was like, okay, I'm starting to see how this is how this is shaping out for us.
Of course, Ethan, you're a big NBA fan. Of course, that season's now underway for a couple weeks. How are the Raptors shaping out?
Thankfully, they're losing. I want them to tank.
Yeah,
good
draft pick.
I've heard it's a fun tank though.
Yeah,
like they've had some good games, some like career.
Yeah, they're
like
entertaining games to watch.
Yeah,
Grady Dick's had a couple good games.
Yeah, he's been playing really well. Like he's been nice.
And RJ and too. RJ Bear, been cooking.
But like, he'll go for like 30 the next game, and he'll look like he's never touched a basketball.
That's how he's always been.
Yeah. So like, he's like, I'm not the highest on him.
Yeah. Fair. Inconsistency is always annoying.
Consistently inconsistent.
Which is consistent.
And there's Emmanuel Quickly is like, he was injured, slowly coming back, but like, I think he'll be good.
Yeah, I was just talking about this with my roommates yesterday because we were debating on whose jersey to get because, obviously Scotty's the guy on this team right now.
Yep.
I just feel like his name doesn't have aura on the back of a jersey. Like, I'm wearing Barnes on my back.
Yeah.
No disrespect to anyone, named Barnes listening, but it's just like, I don't know. So I'm like, maybe I'll get an RJ Barrett jersey, like the purple one, the throwback one.
I like a Dick jersey.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want a Grady Dick jersey.
Yeah,
so
that's
bad.
I'm not sure I could get away with that.
I think you could. I think it'd suit you, actually.
I'm definitely going to get one.
Of course.
I just wonder who they're going to keep together in that core and who they're going to, end up moving on from.
I think they did pay RJ Barrett, so I don't think they're going to move on to him.
I know they paid Quickly.
They paid Quick. Maybe they didn't. No,
I don't think they paid RJ.
Yeah, they paid Quickly. They paid Barnes, thankfully.
Yeah.
give him all the money in the world. Just make sure he's here.
Yeah, sure. RJ extended in New York, but that was a rookie extension up in 26. So I just wonder if he's part of their plans. He's 24.
I hope not. I really hope not.
I remember when, like during that draft year, like he was, yeah, people had him as high as they did Zion and Ja, but he didn't take off like they did.
When he was going into college, I was like pretty high on him because he was like what, like top two, top three ranked player in high school.
Yeah.
And then he came to college and he was like, he was good, but he was just like, eh.
That Duke team was like, it was really fun.
Because they had like, they had the top three recruits and like the number two point guard in the country. Like,
it made everybody look better than maybe they were.
Ridiculous team.
And I remember last week on the show, I think with Connor and Zach, I don't want to touch on this again because I thought this was a really interesting, binary sort of season we're having between the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference of the NBA. Of course, on top of the Eastern Conference, you got the Cavaliers, of course, 13-0.
Undefeated.
Kind of with the Jets of the NBA right now, Winnipeg Jets.
We started on that.
And then you have the Celtics, at 2. I call it Celtics. I'm part, you know, Scottish.
You do.
Celtic. That's not how you pronounce it. By the way, it's actually called Celtics, but Boston calls it Celtics because we need to be different. Wins and losses, they're 10-3. The Magic are in third at 7-6, and then every other team, the next 13 teams are below 500.
The East is just terrible.
It's not great.
So you go to the Western.
They haven't been good, but like they're even worse.
Yeah, you go to the Western Conference. They don't have an undefeated team like the Cavaliers, but their 500 ends at 11th.
The West is just like, it's way too competitive.
The West, there's a bunch of good, solid teams in the West. Of course, again, only four teams are below 500. Where you look at the Eastern, you know, it's like 11 teams below 500.
Even when, you know, the West maybe falls off for a year or two, it seems like they're always like, they just always come back and have the more competitive conference. Because I remember, you know, being a kid watching the all-star teams in East versus West. It was just like, you know, we're playing Kemba Walker against Steph Curry
and like Lillard.
It just wasn't fair. And so maybe that's why they changed the format for the draft. But no, the Cavs, I don't know. I didn't know they were like that, to be honest with you.
They're contenders, but like they've done the same thing for the past few years.
They have.
They'll start good. People start getting injured. Then they'll like be on and off, because people are going out of the lineup, coming back in. Then the playoffs will come. Evan Mobley and Darius Garland will get injured, and then Donovan Mitchell will have trade rumors. Like, it's the same cycle every year.
I want the Thunder to win it. Chet Holmgren, you know, hurt recently, but I'm big on Shea. I'm a big Shea guy. I was a big Donovan Mitchell guy when he was in Utah. Now I'm just like, whatever. I don't know. It doesn't have the same energy. And
yeah, he's still good, but like
he's still good, but he just
whatever. I get what you mean, though.
Yeah, it just doesn't have the same aura in Cleveland. But we're speaking of the Cavs and their hot start. I don't know if you want to kind of segue to hockey, but the Winnipeg Jets.
They are, I think, first 15 games or 14-1. They won their 15th, I think, recently.
I think they lost to Tampa just recently.
Oh, okay, never mind that.
But that's a similar story. I mean, they have really hot starts to the season, and then it's just like, we know what's going to happen. Not injuries per se, but they're going to be a first-round exit.
Yeah, yeah, and actually, I was, they're 15-2 now.
15-2.
After that recent loss to Tampa, you are correct. Of course, they're on top of the West.
And the Atlantic is on top.
On top of the league as well. And remember, I was actually there's a Laurentian's radio station, their sports show. I was on as a hockey analyst. My friend runs it, and they're they're an AM/FM station.
Are they?
So like I was on the airwaves as like a hockey analyst. So
that's cool.
That's as famous as I'll ever get. And we're talking about the Jets, and you know on that show I said, you know, because to hype them up and because you know it's in Sudbury and there's some Jets fans in Sudbury.
Really?
It's more Jets fans that you see around here just because you know they're more north or closer to Manitoba, and they're, you know, they don't really feel as Toronto-y. Relate more to kind of the Manitoba style. And on it, I remember going saying, like, you know, I'm all in on the Jets. That was a lie. Now back on my regular show, they are probably going to be a first-round exit unless Connor Hellebuyck can keep this up into the playoffs. Because he's had an amazing start. He's a Vezina candidate currently.
Well, as usual.
As usual, and he's won the Vezina before. But last playoffs, he was letting in six, seven goals a game.
I can't take any team in the Central Division seriously, to be honest with you, just because, you know, we've seen the Jets do this, well, not every year, but we've seen it happen last year at least. They have these ridiculous start, but you look at their team and you're like, is this a team that's really going to pose any difficulty in the postseason? And they don't. But the problem is they have those good starts, and so by the time the deadline comes, they're not necessarily selling. I want to get my hands on Nick Ehlers for my Toronto Maple Leafs. But it's just, you know, you have a good start and you get to a point where it's like, oh, like we're still contenders by the time the deadline comes. But I think everybody who's not, you know, a Winnipeg Jets fan knows what's going on. Or at least maybe that's just me being cynical. But
well, I'm cynical too. And it's the thing about the Jets is that, you know, half me is like, they're not going to do that well. Because historically they haven't done that well. They've kind of choked their, you know, perennial first round exit, maybe second round a couple years ago. Yeah. They made it to the Western Finals like 7 years ago against Vegas, and Vegas handedly dealt with them in their inaugural season. And so half me is like, they're not going to go that far. Then half me is like, you don't get to 15-2 on a fluke.
No, you're right.
Right?
It's just...
And like, I like the way their lineup's set up. They don't have a superstar on their team.
No.
Connor Hellebuck. Kyle Connor's a good scorer.
He's not
a face of the league. They don't have a McDavid. Sure. They don't have a McKinnon. They don't have a Matthews. They don't even have a Crosby or a Bedard or anything. Their biggest star outside the blue paint, Scheifele or McMorrissey, who was like a Norse candidate the first half of last season. And since then, again, Morrissey, great defender. He's not a face of the league like a Hughes or a Makar or even a Pietrangelo or anything, or a Fox.
But you could also argue that, you know, Vegas, Florida, to an extent, never had those, like, you know, superstar face. They had good players and they had star players, but there was never a, you know, a takeover guy. And I feel like, I don't know, with Vegas and Florida, at least, it's their rosters are constructed where it's like you've got a lot of second lines.
Yes.
And it's worked out for them. So maybe that's the method. But yeah, we've been seeing teams win where it's they don't necessarily have a guy. They just got a really... looks like a kind of mediocre lineup, but they're just well-constructed lines, evenly put together, versus the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, we discussed that on the CKLU show, and how, like, especially how you take Florida, and how, like, again, Barkov and Tkachuk,
they're good players,
are great players, and argue Barkov's, you know, top 10, 15 player in the league just because his complete two-way play is phenomenal. I've always liked Matthew Tkachuk. I know some people don't. I've always liked him. I like those players, like the dirty players. Like, I'm a huge fan of Corey Perry. I'm a huge fan of Brad Marchand. I love those style of players.
I thought that Tkachuk, I was high on Tkachuk going into those playoffs, but he didn't have that great a postseason, or at least that great a finals, which is when I, you know, really.
Yeah, if Florida threw those finals like they nearly did, then we have a complete conversation. But everyone kind of forgets. Like, I even forget that they almost threw those finals. They went to a game 7 when they could have ended it in game 5. Right?
Yeah,
or even a game 4 at the way they're playing. But they won the final, so that kind of narrative completely shifted. I kind of forget about that too. But they had a Barkov, they had a Tkachuk. Sam Reinhart is turning out to be one of the best scorers in the league. And then, but you look at their defense, they didn't have, again, didn't have, you know, a Makar or a Hughes or a Fox. They had an Ekblad who's good, but not a face of the defensive lines in the league. They had Forsling, they had Montour. You know, these are just solid defenders. They aren't superstar defenders, but they get the job done. So, and especially Vegas, too. Pietrangelo, Theodore. Pietrangelo's kind of getting up there in age. He's not the superstar defender he was when he won the Cup with the Blues. But they just have strong, solid lineups filled throughout. So you are kind of seeing a changing of the guard in that sort of sense, where you're not seeing, you know, just superstar-laden lineups. You're seeing... You know, again, you mentioned basically just it's 4 second lines almost, or like 4 third lines, 4 grinding lines where they're, instead of trying to outscore you, they're just trying to outwheel you and outbeat you down.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of Paul Maurice.
Paul Maurice is
his hockey.
Paul Maurice is a great coach. John Tortorella, I'm a huge fan of John Torts. Good coach. Of course, Leafs now with Craig Berube behind the bench to start the season.
Just like last year, I haven't caught a lot of early Leafs games just because, you know, I've dived into the world of Laurier Athletics and I haven't looked back since. But the ones I have caught, it's like, you know, it's the same story. They're dropping games to bottom feeders, but in a different manner than they did under Sheldon Keefe.
Yeah, at least it's different.
Yeah, I mean, they'll get shut out instead of not. I mean, this is the first time they've been shut out in years, and then they've done it twice already.
Yeah, with Keefe, they at least scored a goal a game.
A goal a game.
They were losing 3-1 against like the Arizona Coyotes. Here, they're going to lose 3-0.
Yeah.
But they're also like doing well, and they beat good teams. But things kind of Leafs. They beat good teams, but they don't beat the bad teams.
Yeah, and so you're high on the Leafs when they approach the postseason, but at the end of the day, they're in that third-place spot, second-place spot, usually third, just because they're dropping all these winnable games early and, you know, mid into the season, and you'll go on a hot run towards the end, and then maybe those last few games you drop because, you know, you're resting your players, and so it all adds up. It seems like it's a one-off, but you're dropping these winnable games, and I feel like that was supposed to change under, you know, new system, new style of play. They're gonna win the games that they should. Haven't seen that yet. But I'm also not a fan of how the roster is constructed.
How's that?
Well, over the offseason, I mean, I was thinking surely we'd at least add, you know, a forward. And like they added Pacioretty, and lo and behold, he's hurt. Who could have seen this
cardboard
coming, right? And so they lost Bertuzzi, and I feel like they didn't really have a suitable replacement for him in the top six, because you went from Hyman to Bunting to Bertuzzi, and you just lost Bertuzzi. They signed Pacioretty, but I didn't really think that he was going to be, one, a viable, you know, long-term top six option, and two, you know, someone who'd be able to play a majority of the season. And obviously the playoffs matter, but that bulk of the season is where you need to get your, you know, your lines going. So Matthew Nyes has been... he's been stepping up, but I just don't think that their forward core is good enough. D, I'm a fan of.
I was going to say, they improved their defense, and at least what I visioned their defense should be, they improved at that. I've been a Chris Tanev diehard since, like, 2012.
Okay.
Like, he was one of my first favorite players, and he's maybe one of top five defensive defensemen in the league. Great blocker, a great just zone exeter.
Sure.
He's not an offensive defenseman at all, but I absolutely love Chris Tanev, so I'm glad he's on the team. Ekman Larson.
Yeah, they added that puck mover in Ekman Larson.
Ekman Larson, offensive defender. He can do the power play.
Better than Morgan Rielly can.
Exactly. I was going to say, take some pressure off Morgan Rielly, who, for some reason, they always kind of positioned him as like the undisputed number one defender on the league.
Never that.
And I'm like, Morgan Rielly, if he's the number one defender, you know, on the team, you're not going to go that far. He's a good defender, but he shouldn't be your all-star defender.
I don't think he's ever been that great.
No,
defender,
he's not.
To be honest.
That's what I'm saying. If he's your all-star defender on your team's not going to do that good.
Absolutely. And so there's that. But then you look at, they were icing two of Liljegren, Benoit, and Timmins. I personally think that Benoit's unplayable.
Really?
It's a tough watch.
It is a tough watch. I like Benoit's like style of play.
He hits.
He finishes checks and.
But the way he handles the puck, it's like a grenade. And so I was like, okay, at least you've got, you know, Liljegren in there. He's not the best D they have, but I still think he had room to grow. But Berube clearly did not like him, did not want to play him, so they traded him away for a couple of picks. And I was off on that too, because I'm thinking you could either keep him and just not play him, and either trade him at the deadline to get a bigger return than you did. Do one of those things, but they moved on from him early, and so now I feel like they're kind of stuck with Timmins or Benoit or Hakanpaa, who's off the long-term injury reserve now, and I just think that's not a viable bottom pairing.
I think
no matter which way you spin it.
I think if Benoit kind of, you know, matures his game and kind of settles down a bit and doesn't, you know, handle the puck like a grenade, as you mentioned, I think he's a viable third line defender. But it's that last slot, you know, Timmins, I don't really think, if you're a contending team, I don't know if Timmins is a starting six on
it's
a contending
not
team. Hakanpaa, we just haven't seen him play.
Yeah.
If he comes off the injury reserve and like puts up a solid, you know, defensive effort every game, I'm down. We just haven't seen him play, so we don't know his status. Liljegren, it's a bit of a strange, because I think they meant, they moved on from him a bit too early. But even if you keep him, but if you don't play him and you wait for the trade deadline, then you're probably going to get a less value because he's not playing.
That's true, but then it doesn't hurt to, you know, throw him a game, like throw him a bone like they were doing. They'd throw him a game or so, and sometimes, like, admittedly, he didn't look good.
No, and he kind of feels like, his role on the team, you know, he's not, like, the biggest hitter, and he's a more, like, offensively minded defenseman.
Yeah.
But you already have Riley and Ekman-Larsson filling those holes. You have Tanev filling a really defensive role. You have Benoit filling that, you know, kind of Zadorov like crunch role. And so he just didn't really fit anywhere in the lineup.
Maybe, but I think that it was a decent, you know, you want insurance, and I think that their depth has gotten worse moving on from him. They got Matt Benning back, but that's a...
And I think they put him on waivers immediately.
Yeah, the guy who's going to stay either in the AHL or get moved for, you know, another low pick. So we'll see how it progresses, but I just don't think it's the most complete roster, and so they're dropping these games, but I would say not as much complacency as they just can't win them because this isn't a perfectly, well, no, it's perfect, but not a great put-together team. But it's early.
Ethan, you're a big NHL guy?
Nah, hockey's not my biggest interest.
You're an NBA guy, I know.
Yeah, I'm most sports, not really hockey.
But most, okay. NFL, and you guys follow the NFL?
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. I haven't been as much as of late.
No, I haven't been either. I mean, to keep up with it more this season, and I lost that New Year's resolution.
Just because, like, you know, whenever there's NFL on, there's Laurier football on.
And you have to.
I know where my priorities lie.
You have to peep the Hawks. Of course, NFL standings, of course, atop
the Bills are 8-2.
I was going to say, atop
the
East.
They're supposed to be rebuilding.
And if I remember, the Bills were on top, and I check, and they're still on top, of course, 8-2, which, quite impressive for this Bills team.
Josh Allen's been playing really well. His issue's been turnovers, and he's, like, negated them, like, really well this year. He's had, like, only a few interceptions the whole season.
Yeah, and of course, the Josh Allen is playing well. Of course, the Chiefs.
Frauds.
I was going to say, the scripts cannot be changed. Of course, they're undefeated. There are miraculous comebacks and miraculous, like, penalty calls in their favor. It's sketchy. And as I says, a cynic, I'm in full controversy or conspiracy mode.
How you said we're doing Space Jam night. Like, it feels like Mahomes got his powers sucked out because he's been terrible. I don't know
and
how
somehow,
they win games.
They're undefeated.
I was watching I don't remember what week it was, but I think it was Chiefs and 49ers earlier on, and it was just like, you know, some sort of you know, dark magic was putting everything in their favor. I was like, what am I watching right now?
It might be rigged. That's the conclusion I've gone to. The NFL might be rigged. Of course, on top of the AFC North, the Steelers, of course, 7-2, and just behind them, the Ravens at 7-3. AFC South, of course, led by the Texans and then the Colts. Moving on to the National Football Conference, Eagles having a strong start the season, of course, 8-2. Go down to the NFC West, Cardinals, 6-4, the 49ers, aforementioned 49ers, 5-4. Of course, NFC North led by the Lions.
My buddy's a big Lions fan.
I'm gonna say, one of my friends, big Lions
team
too.
Yeah.
And my team is always the Seahawks, but they're not doing so hot right now. So I'm kind of like a Lions wagon right now. You know, like one of my friends likes them, and he's telling me about them, and I'm watching some of their games, and I'm like, I like the Lions.
They're like, they just need defensive backs. Like that secondary is like any quarterback is like raining yards on them.
Yeah.
But like everything else on that team is like beautiful.
Of course, in the NFC North, of course, there's the Lions leading, and they're, of course, just behind them is the Minnesota Vikings at 7-2. The NFC South, of course, led by the Falcons at 6-4, and then the Bucks behind them at 4-6. That's the NFL for you. What are you guys' NFL teams?
Seahawks.
Oh, nice. All right.
I never had, you know, my dad's a Cowboys fan.
So
I'm like, you're a Leafs fan, you're a Cowboys fan. I'm like, what are you doing to yourself here?
Those are bold picks for fandom.
So bold to the first round exits every year.
Yeah, I know, right? That's
I just kind of
America's
I,
team.
I tag along there. We're also a Manchester United family, and so
it
doesn't always work out.
I am kind of a United fan.
Oh,
yeah. That's my English Premier League team. That's the most basic like one, but I've always liked them.
We're no bandwagons because, like,
no.
There's been opportunities to jump ship to Liverpool, but no.
No, I've liked United, especially, and I used to have, right, the main reason, I remember I had, like, my older son had, like, FIFA, like, 2002.
Okay, yeah.
And so the United team there had, like, Rooney and Scholes and Nistelrooy, and I'm like, that was my favorite team to play because they're so good.
I was big into them in the Mourinho years.
Oh.
That was, like, you know, that was my, I'm not a big soccer watcher anymore, football watcher, if you, you roll that way. But yeah, so I was just saying, like, you know, United, the Leafs, the Cowboys, it's just it's a rough go for sports watching in the family. But that would,
like,
be my
heartbreak
pick.
After heartbreak. Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, how are you still watching sports in general? Yeah, I would
have
just,
how do you have the willpower for this?
It's made me more rugged. I feel like you know, I can tough anything.
Yeah, I'll just turn on the aquarium channel after a while. That'd be my team.
Well, the Raptors saved me 1 year. And I was like, I wonder if I'll ever taste that again.
Nah, never.
Probably not.
For Toronto team?
Never.
Every Toronto team, though.
I thought things were looking up for Toronto sports. You know, the Raptors had just won.
Raptors won.
The Leafs were on the upwards.
Yeah, the Matthews Marner area was kicking off.
And the Blue Jays, that 2021 year. Yeah, yeah. With Semien that year, I was like, it was a great team, but everything's gone wrong.
Everything's like, we literally chased Kawhi away.
Yeah.
Blue Jays cannot sign anybody.
No.
The way the Blue Jays had that year that they had Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien, I was like, this is one of the best teams I've seen. The only thing there was an issue with, well, one of the best teams I've seen with a modest payroll, like no Dodgers or anything. The only issue was obviously that pitching rotation. It was just it was brutal on relief. Starters weren't great either, but I was like, you just have to address this. And then they basically blew it up.
I wasn't mad we lost Robbie Ray. I knew he was going to be trash after that season, which he was.
Yeah, and they replaced him with Gausman anyway.
Yeah, Gausman's like elite. He's so good. And then Semien, I just knew. I thought he was going to be like decent. Like, I didn't think he'd be as good as he is now.
I was hoping he'd stay. I was a big Semien fan.
Yeah, I thought he was going to. I was hoping he'd stay, but like, I wasn't trying to pay him as much as he got paid, because I don't think he deserves that much.
See, I have less reservations about how much you pay someone in baseball just because, like, there's no cap. I'm just like, give him what you need to make him stay. But just the fact that, you know, they get rid of Hernandez and Gurriel, and then Moreno as well is lighting up in Arizona, I believe. So it's just like those things, like, oh yeah, we're gonna get more responsible defensively. I mean,
both
trades
were just terrible because we lost Moreno, who's a great defender.
He's great, yeah.
And Gurriel's like a decent hitter, but he'd be like a great hitter in our trash lineup.
And Teoscar is just like, he's cooking in LA.
Yeah, he was going crazy this year with the Dodgers.
So it's just like, sure, like, we're winning team gold gloves, but we're also, you know, at the bottom of the AL East.
Because we can't like hit anything.
Can't hit. Pitching's okay, but, you know.
We needed bullpen in 2021. I don't know why we traded Teoscar for a reliever.
It's like, brutal. I'm like, look how far we've fallen. That was such a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
They missed the playoffs by one game. And I think back, I remember there was one game near the end of the season where Semien had an error throwing to first base in like the ninth inning. And that resulted in like a run being scored and we lost that game. And I was like, any of those games could have decided whether we made the playoffs or not. But that was like the one.
I think we made a push too. I think we had a good chance of doing something that year.
Well, the good news is Atkins and Shapiro are still staying on. Aren't you guys so ecstatic at that news? That's absurd.
I'm so ecstatic, as you can tell. I definitely love them in the front office.
In the name of being a model student, I'm not gonna you know, defame them, but it's just some questionable moves on their part, and I'm just I don't know. And it's the same thing.
I have some choice words for them.
You were saying, you know, they could have made that push. And it's the same thing. Like, you don't want to think back to the Raptors, but like, if Kawhi stayed, they definitely would have run it back that year. Because that was a good team the year after he left, even that bubble season.
Siakam got better. Everybody got better.
Everybody got better. The only weak spot was just the amount of times they kept starting Marc Gasol. He was just such a liability.
Sold.
And Ibaka was cooking, but he kept coming off the bench. And I was like, that's when I started to get fed up with Nick Nurse. But that was a good team, and it was a fun team to watch as well. And I like when your team is good, like, it's fun, obviously, but when you've got something to prove and you still make it, you know, to the spots where you weren't expected to be, those are the best ones to watch. But yeah.
Of course. I know the Raptors team, like, if they kept Kawhi, you'd think they'd have a good chance to run it back, and they could start, like, you know, they were probably championship contenders the next season. They were probably going to go on a bit of a run, you know, for the next couple of years if they signed him for a couple of years.
Definitely that year after. I mean, you know, his injury troubles aren't dependent on where he's playing, because we probably still would have run into the same thing that the Clippers have run into now. But at least that year immediately after, I think we could have beat the Lakers.
I feel like we could have managed his injuries better, though.
When
he was with us, he still played a good amount of games and he didn't have anything serious. And he was coming right off like a really messed up knee.
Like, yeah, and that's like unprecedented for him now. Like, he hasn't. I remember though the one game that I went to that Raptors regular season. Like, the stat was that even when Kawhi doesn't play, they win. And I went to the one game where he didn't play and they lost to Orlando. And I was like, all right, well, maybe it's me. But yeah, no, he hasn't had a, I don't think it's ridiculous to say he hasn't had as complete a season and as good a season, you know, even with the load management since he was here.
No, because that playoffs was like magical.
It was ridiculous.
He was going insane. I'll never forget DJ Augustine's game winner in the first round.
I was like, are we serious here?
Like, nowhere we're losing the Magic and letting DJ Augustine hit a game winner from the top. Like,
I hated those Magic teams with Aaron Gordon and Vucevic. Like,
Aaron Gordon and Vucevic, Terrence Ross,
I miss that guy.
He was so nice on the Magic. Of course. So athletic on the Raptors. I remember the dunk contest.
That dunk was ridiculous.
And speaking of basketball here, I got this headline earlier today, and I thought this would be a good conversation topic. Of course. So it's more local. It's about Ontario kind of city bylaws. Of course, got the notification.
Oh.
Mississauga upholds ban on street sports.
I saw this the other day.
Including hockey and basketball. They voted to keep its residential street sports ban in place, of course, in the name of children safety. Of course, some cities, including Toronto, Ottawa, and even Kitchener down King Street, they are permitted under certain conditions, but they are permitted. But of course, some cities, including Mississauga and Oakville, I believe, full ban on street sports, including hockey and basketball. What are your guys' opinions on that?
I mean, it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, like realistically, like, this means nothing.
Yeah, who's enforcing
it? Like, nobody's enforcing it.
Apparently, they're getting a lot of bylaw calls. Wow. And like, that's why, like, because people are weaponizing. They wanted to overturn it, this one counselor, because they're weaponizing to try to stop kids from playing on the street in general. But I'm also like, it's going to happen anyway. So it's more of just like just to say you have it in place. And any bylaw call, you have to go, bylaw officers have to go investigate any bylaw call. But like, I'm sure we've all played street hockey or street basketball before.
Absolutely.
And it's not
poor memory for every child.
Oh, especially, you know, in Canada, the traditional, you know, road hockey, middle of the road, you know, yeah. Christmas break, and then car, you move the nets to the side.
I mean, I'm a guy with a driveway on a slant, so if I want to get some quality ball hockey action going on, I've got to make my way to the road. But yeah, I mean, like, what are we doing here?
Just let the kids have play. Fun. I understand kids' safety, but like, kids have survived for, you know, million years,
many years without your bylaws.
They have some common sense to see a car and know how to move.
I know, and if they don't get out of the way, it's a bit of Darwinism.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't a survival of the fittest.
Exactly, right? But I mean, I just saw that today, and I'm like, I'm really like banning kids' sports. We're in an era of like, you know, like, oh, we're promoting healthy kids, and yet we're taking away, you know, their, you know, activity because whatever reason, the name of child safety, even though kids have been playing on the road for years.
It's silly stuff, but these things happen. I mean, I feel like there's so many, you know, times in history where something gets banned, people do it anyway, it gets unbanned, rinse and repeat. Seatbelts. I don't even know if that's true, but I've heard an anecdote about
seatbelts in the back seat.
I think like prohibition or something like that.
Point is, let the kids play.
Let the boys play. My favorite thing to say, especially like during commentating, when it's like the referees keep calling, like, let the boys play. Being the angry, you know, hockey moms in the arena just banging it. Let the boys play. That's my favorite cosplay. Of course, we've covered basketball, we've covered hockey, we've covered baseball, we've covered football. Any guys into any like niche kind of?
I don't know if it's niche, but I follow Formula One.
Oh, F1, all right. I've never been a huge racing guy. My brother is, but I've never been able to kind of grasp my way into racing.
Level with me here. It was like a Sunday evening, and me and my boys were like, well, we've got nothing to do. Log on to a legal streaming website.
I would expect nothing less.
Yeah, to see what was going on. Table tennis.
Oh.
It's quick. It's fast.
I've seen the Olympics. I've watched table tennis this past summer.
Oh, this is,
have you? No, like, they brought
this.
It's
no
intense.
Olympics. This is like Turkish Elite League number 2.
Oh, and that'd just be.
They keep it going. Every 10 minutes, you got a new game. And I'm like, holy cow. Like, these guys are. Some of them are terrible, but, you know, some of them are good. So that was our niche for the weekend. I mean, nice. I'm not still into it. I watched a little bit of, you know, I was just exploring the different sports, see what was going on. Watched a little bit of cricket. I believe it was USA and Nepal.
Oh.
Yeah, I follow cricket too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And cricket's then, big.
It is big.
Like Eastern society.
Yeah, definitely. India has a great cricket team. England too. I think Australia and New Zealand have some cricket going on there. I never really got into cricket. I don't really big. It just looks like bowling and baseball. And
my grandpa's a big cricket guy. I think he represented England at some point. Ooh, some like seniors name. Tournament.
Oh, never mind. They're gonna say they represented him at the Olympics. He was the captain.
Like senior not the, not national the, tournament. I don't even know, but
not the over 75 league.
It was an anecdote. But yeah, table tennis, if anybody is bored at 10 p.m., what's on? Table tennis is on until 3:50, so tap in. But
good call.
Just reeling it back to Laurier basketball, because that's the closest thing we've got. It should be a couple of good games. I was told that Ontario Tech is really strong. They have a good men's program, but I don't like their women's team has dropped quite a few consecutively.
Ooh,
so yeah, I'll be at
our women's team has won a couple consecutively, yeah. So they might be able to keep that momentum rolling.
Here's hoping. I'll be at that game, 6 o'clock and then 8 o'clock for the men's, and it should be pretty fire.
Space Jam night.
Yeah, I'm
you should have got really like a Porky Pig outfit or like a Bugs Bunny.
Well,
like
the idea was
onesie.
I'm not sure if Midas the Golden Hawk, our mascot, is gonna be in attendance, but the idea Ooh. Was to kind of Bugs Bunnyify the Golden Hawk.
But he could be like a Tweety or something like that. He's already yellow.
I'm not sure what the word is with Midas, but I'm gonna get into the 90s state of mind that I might use some idioms that were present 30 years ago that may not be today.
Such as?
I don't know. I gotta do some research here.
All right, fair enough. What are some 90s sayings?
My sister is like a 90s radical. Kid. Yeah, my sister's a 90s kid. She says radical a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're a caricature. You're not real. Like
tubular.
Says this. But that should be cool. I encourage everyone to pop out, because it's a fun time, those basketball games, beanbag toss.
Oh, whatnot. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know who's calling those games tonight, but it should be fun.
Someone.
I actually got it right in front of me.
I think Jade is doing one. Connor might be doing one. I checked it earlier.
What is it, the 16th today? No, it's the 15th. Connor and Zach.
Oh, Zach. All right.
So that should be fun. Pop out.
Pop out. Also tonight, I remember I saw a post about it. I don't follow boxing at all, but I think it's Mike Tyson and Jake Paul tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do we think here?
I think it's either 50-50. It's either scripted or Mike Tyson is going to beat the brakes off him.
The way that, like, it has to be scripted. Like
it has.
I think it's going to be a Jake Paul, because the way that he's won every, like, yeah. The Pauls have won everything up till now, I'm expected to believe. They're going to say, oh, like, Mike Tyson's old, so that's why he lost, but If he goes down, like, we know 100% for sure, because there's no
tomorrow. Shot. Tomorrow, I cannot wait. John Jones versus Steve.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a great match, of course. But, yeah, I know, like, Tyson, again, like, yeah, the Paul seems very, like, very storybook, very scripted. The fact they haven't lost, and they're just, like, YouTubers who picked up boxing.
Yeah,
and so like, you'd have to think there might be a script involved here, because you have the plausible deniability of, well, Tyson, you know, is just 50-50 because he's old now. Right, like you shouldn't have expected him to like go in and like beat Jake Paul. Jake Paul's so young, he's so old. Of course, he's lost a step. They're he would have lost a step against anyone.
They're flying closer and closer to the sun. One of these days, like they're gonna go up against Floyd and expect us to believe that they won that legitimately as well. So
yeah, that's why when Logan Paul fought Floyd, it was an exhibition.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Even and the Floyd was like beating the brakes. Like, he was beating him, bad.
But I do want to see, like, again, I wasn't alive. None of us were alive for like prime Tyson. but I do want to see 90s Tyson come out tonight. Just cause.
Maybe he'll be at Space Jam night, you know? You never know.
He might. You know, you do not know.
But yeah, action-packed weekend for your Wilfrid Laurier Golden Hawks.
Of course, before we head off air, of course, reminder, Golden Hawks football
UTEC
in action. UTEC, of course, that's at Bishop's University.
Kickoff at 12.
Watch party at Wilf's.
Yeah, head over to the Wilf's, second floor of the Fred Nichols Campus Center for the watch party.
What up?
And some delicious Golden Hawks bites, all for
$5. $5?
$5 ticket, appetizers included.
Oh, not bad.
And I'm big on Spin Dip. If you haven't tapped into Spin Dip, I
everybody's
urge you.
Been talking about
it. Have you had it before?
It's ridiculous.
I've not had it
it's
before.
So you can't comment on it.
No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying everybody raves about Spin Dip.
I've got a short little anecdote before we end things off. I was at Wilf's for trivia night with some of my friends, and it was like 70s, 80s, 90s themed, and it was like all music. And so we weren't cheating at all.
We were not cheating.
I swear we weren't cheating. We had
Definitely Shazam wasn't on.
There was no Shazam being used at all. Anyway, we were tied for first. And so the tiebreaker was you send one person from each team and they play a song and you race to the song. No, sorry. They play the song, and when you know the song, you race to grab a mustard bottle. The first one who grabs that has to shout out what the song is. If you get it, you win. So we're tied, and I'm kind of like the my music taste doesn't match up with the rest of my friends, so they sent me up there, and there's this other guy from another team, and they start playing a song. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, I know this song. I just start running without, like, even thinking, and I grab it, but I don't know the name of the song. And I'm holding it. I'm like, and she's looking at me. She's like, hey, if you didn't know the song, you shouldn't have grabbed the bottle. The album cover appears in my brain. It was Hold the Line by Toto.
Oh, nice. Classic song.
And I scream it out, and I popped off in the middle of Wilf's like no one ever has done. Moral of the story is I've got spin dip socks now, which I will be wearing to the watch party. It's just so good. It's you got to try it. It's ridiculous.
It's great. Love isn't always on time, but basketball is going to be on time.
On time for sure.
At 6 and 8, smooth. And of course, the football, men's football continue their greater championship runs. Of course, the Yates Cup champions looking for a UTEC win and with their eyes set on the Vanier Cup. Of course, have to go through Bishop's University tomorrow. Come onto Laurier campus, of course. Go head on out to Wilf's. That's a watch party. You can also catch it on the radio station here. You can also catch it on OUA TV. You can also catch it on, I think, a CBC or Rogers station is playing it. I'm sure other radio stations are playing it throughout Ontario and Quebec. It's one of the largest matchups in university sports season. Of course, for Mateo Beckles, for Ethan Nandaraja. I'm Ian Bailey, and thanks for listening in, and go check out the packed Laurier sports schedule this weekend. Have a great day.